Shalom to all. Today's afternoon, Shalom Shabbos, Taf Samach Dalin, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud with the Kofar of the Mishnah, Hamachkoi, and the Vilnsur Sadaf. It's near the end of Nun Beis Amud Aleph, and today's Daf sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Mars Mirim Tzara Basib Yaakov Moshe, her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we continue discussing the Melachas mentioned in the Mishnah. So we had Tana Hamachkoi, one that smooths out, and the question is, Mamchikai of Mishkan, what type of smoothing did they have in the Mishkan? The answer is, Zer Bar Chinna says, B'Shem Rachinina, Shayu Shafin Asa'ar al Gabi Amud. They would take the Ar, the hides, and rub it against the pillar, and that smooths out the hide. And similarly, we have a Brisa, Shafin Asa'ar al Gabi Amud. Chayiv, somebody who rubs the hide against the pillar, he's chayiv, and mishomayu chayiv. Why is he chayiv? Rabbi Yehuda says b'shem Rabbi Yehuda Malevi, and Rabbi Acha says b'shem Rabbi Yehuda Malevi as well. Mishomayichek, because of mayichek, he's smoothing out. Now, continue to discuss this. Hadadat amar b'chadash. That's only with a new hide when it's fresh, and he rubs it against the pillar, so it smooths out the hide. Aval b'yashon, what about an old one? When it's old, he's not smoothing out the hide; it's already smoothed. The question is, what about the pillar? Is it considered mamachik on the pillar? So machlek is Rabbi Elazar b'chamim, as machlek is Rabbi Elazar b'chamim. This pagan they argue hamachabed. One that sweeps the ground, and hamarabits, one that sprinkles water that tamps down the dust, hamagabin, hamachabits. These are two different processes in the cheese-making process. Hacholev, one that milks a cow, v'alroi dechalus dvash, one that takes honeycomb out from where it is. Chayev chates, he's chayev chates, divrei Rebbe Elazar, it's Rebbe Elazar's opinion, whereas v'chomer say, mishum shvos, it's only an iser drabanon. And our understanding right now is that machabin and marabits, the first two melachas that we mentioned, sweeping and tamping down the dust, that would be an iser of memachik, of smoothing out, as we see Rebbe Elazar machayev machik on ground, and he would apply the same to a pillar, whereas the Chum argue. However, Amar Rabbi Yisrael Bun, he says that no, well, like Pligin, there's no machlokes. These things that we just mentioned are usher for a totally different reason, not because of machik. Hamachabit, hamarabit, one who sweeps the ground or tamps down the dust by sprinkling water, chai mishum chayresh, that's a proper girsa. He's chai for plowing, because just like plowing prepares the ground and gets it ready for planting, so too, sweeping it or sprinkling water to tamp down the dust, that also prepares it for planting, so that's a chayresh. And hamagabin, vahamachabit, these two malachas, chai mishum lush, one is chai for kneading, because that's what one is doing to the milk or the cheese as he's making cheese. He basically kneads the whole mixture, so that's what he's chai for. And hachayle v'haroi d'chalas dvash, one that milks an animal, or he takes the honeycomb out from where it is, chai mishum kaitzer, he's chai for harvesting, because according to Eliezer, that's this tano, when one detaches or separates something from its source, that's called kaitzer. And that's what he's doing over here. He's milking. He's taking the milk from the udder of the animal, that's separating it from its source, so that's kaitzer. And once we mention this concept of kaitzer, we see it somewhere else as well. Hasoichet zeisim avan. Chai mishum kaitzer, one that squeezes olives, he's chai for kaitzer. And lemi nitzricho, who's this necessary for? Rebbe Elazar, according to Shitas Rebbe Elazar. On to more malachas, Rebbe Chiya says b'shem Rechanan, hagoyrid rashi klunsois, if a person takes a pole and he scrapes it, smoothing it, making it sharp, chai mishum machatech, he's chai for machatech, and hamarech es hasplonis, one who smears a cream for a bandage, like to cover a wound, chai mishum machik, he's chai for machik for smoothing. Now going on to discuss koisev and moichek, writing and erasing. Now we know the issur of writing is writing two letters, and the isra of maichek, erasing, is erasing enough to write two letters. And so Gemara quotes a brisa, machkas achas gedoyla, if one erased one large letter, v'yeshbem kam kedei lichtov shtei oisois, but there's enough space over there that one could write two regular sized letters, chayiv, so he's chayiv for that, because that's maichek, that's erasing, in order to write two letters. However, kasav ois achas gedoyla, if he wrote one very large letter, aval pi sheyeshbem kam kedei lichtov shtei oisois, even though there's enough space that he technically could have written two letters there, potter, he's still potter. Because the Isser of Kaisev is actually writing two letters, not one large letter, which is the size of two. And Rav Nachman Yossi Omer, he tells us, and pay attention to the girsa change of the next two lines, Zeh Chomer b'Kaisev mibemoichek. This is a chomer we find by writing over erasing. Shamoichek al menas l'kalkel putter. One erases with intention to ruin, he's putter, because he didn't do anything, he was just makalkel. However, v'Kaisev al menas l'kalkel, chayev. One who writes, even though it's with the intention of ruining, he's still chayev, because at the end of the day, he wrote two letters. Continuing to discuss Kaisev and Moichek, Yeshu Kaisev nekuda achas mil malon v'chayv olay mishum kosev mishum moichek and yeshu moichek nekuda achas mil malon v'chayv olay mishum kosev mishum moichek. One could write, meaning he could just fill in one little dot up on top of the letter, and he's going to be chayv for both kosev and moichek. And one could erase a little dot on top of the letter, and he's going to be chayv for both kosev and moichek. And hey chavida, how is this possible? How is this done? Hayadalas v'soy resh, resh v'soy dalas. If it was a dalad and he turned into a resh, or a resh and he turned into a dalad, chayv mishum kosev mishum moichek. We know that the letter resh is rounded on top, whereas the dalad has a little piece sticking out towards the right side. So if there was a dalid and he erased that little extra piece, turning it into a resh, that's erasing and writing. And by the same token, if there was a resh and he added in a little dot, having the top extend a bit out towards the right, so that's erasing the resh and turning it into a dalid. And now going on to discuss the melacha of Baina and Saiser, building and dismantling. The Gemara asks, Ma binyan hayu mishkan? What type of building was there in the Mishkan? The answer is, Shayu nice and crush magabe adonim. They would take the beams that were the walls of the Mishkan and place them into the sockets that held them in place, and that's building. As the Gemara of Loila Shah Hesa, wasn't that just for a short amount of time? We know they're just going to dismantle the Mishkan to move on to their next place. So that's not considered a building forever. And Amar Biesa, to this he answers, Mikivin Shayu Chayinu Menoisen Al Pi Adibur, since they would encamp and then travel only based off what Hashem says, Kmishi Hilo Oilam, it's as if it's forever, because they have to wait for Hashem to tell them when to go. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, when they set up the Mishkan, it was forever until Hashem told them to move. However, right away, we are doicha this by saying, Amar Biesa Rabbon, he tells us, Mikivin Shavtichan Kosh Baruch Hu, Shu Machnisan La'aretz, since Hashem promised them that he's going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael, Kmishu La'aylam, you want to say that's considered like it's forever? That's not a forever building. They knew that they're not going to be here forever because they knew that Hashem was going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. But nonetheless, we still see that such a building is chayiv, and Adamer that tells us, Binyan L'Shah, Binyan, that even building for a short amount of time, you know it's going to end up being dismantled, it's not going to last forever, nonetheless, one is still chayiv for Binyan. Now we further clarify this, Adamer, this tells us, Afilu Min Atzad, that even if someone builds from the side, we know the classic building of a wall, for example, is when you take a row of bricks, you lay them down, take another row of bricks and lay them on top, slowly but surely, so you're building from down up, that's not sideways, but here the Mishkan was building sideways. They took a beam and then placed another beam next to it, and that's still considered building, kind of like the way we put up a sukkah, one wall next to another wall, and that's considered a proper building. Another thing we learn is, Hadamar this tells us, even if the building is being placed on top of something else, the krushim were being placed on top of the adonim, on top of the sockets, nonetheless it's still considered building. And Hadamar, another thing we learn is, binyan agabe kelim binyan, the building on top of kelim is a binyan, because the krushim were being placed into the sockets, and the sockets, the adonim, are considered kelim, and nonetheless it's still considered binyan. However, the Gemara is doicha this last thing by saying that no, adonim kekarkahein, the adonim are like karka, because since they were hollow, and the protrusions in the beams and the krushim were actually resting on the ground, so therefore it's not considered like binyan on kelim. Can't you discuss binyan, samach da'al rama beis on top, tani mevi habraiso, echad mevi yaso even, v'echad mevi yasatit, hamevi satit chayiv. If one brings a stone, and the other one brings the cement, so the one who brought the cement is chayiv, because just placing a stone down by itself doesn't accomplish anything, it's the one who brought the cement. That together with the stone is mechayiv, the guy who brought the cement. However, Rabbi Yisrael argues and says, shnein chayiv, and both of them are chayiv, and that's because of Rabbi Yisrael holds, even b'loy tit, binyan, that even stones on top of each other without cement, that is considered binyan. Now, kalmai, then everyone agrees, she'im nosan es hatit chila, v'achach nosan es even, that if first the cement was placed down, and then the guy comes with his stone and places it on top of the cement, shu chayiv, that the guy who brought the stone is not chayiv, in this case, he is chayiv, because he put the stone on top of the cement. Another din regarding building, habenai she'yashav es even b'resh hadimos, a builder that set a stone on top of the row, meaning it's the top row of stones on top of the wall, and he set it into place, even though there's no cement, chayiv is chayiv, because nothing's being placed on top of it, so it doesn't need cement in order for it to be part of the wall, and therefore it'd be chayiv. Elmi nitzachos is a chedeshin l'rabbanon, it's once again a chedeshin l'rabbanon, who hold that we usually need cement, in this case, we don't need cement to be chayiv. And lastly, vohen da'avad dafin, someone who takes boards and he strengthens his building, or vohen da'avad safyon, one who makes thresholds, chayiv mishum b'ayne, in both these cases, they're chayiv for building. Now, v'asoyser, going on to discuss the melacha of dismantling, the Gemara clarifies, v'vad l'tzorech, it has to be that he's dismantling for a need. It has to be soyser al menas livnoy, similar to what we had discussed previously, kareya al menas litfar, tearing in order to sew, or meichak al menas lichtoiv, it's the same thing over here, soyser al menas livnoy. Now, Rucham Bar Akwa says, b'shem r'shem el-lakesh, ha-goydel kli tzura chayim shum b'aynet. If somebody braids a kli, meaning he has some sort of soft reed or something like that, and he braids it into a kli, he's chayim for b'aynet, and according to this man d'amar, there's an isser of b'aynet by kalim. This is machlekes, whether or not there's b'aynet by kalim, and Rish Lakesh holds that there is b'aynet by kalim. Another memra, Rav Ila says, b'shem r'shem el-lakesh, ha-nefech kli z'chuches, chayim shum b'aynet. One who blows a glass kli. This is the ancient art of glass blowing. He's chayim for b'aynet. Rabban Tekisaren says, b'shem r'shem el-lakesh, yesh dvarim krivim rechaikim. There's certain things that are karev but rachaik, v'yesh dvarim rechaikim ukrivim. And there are other things that are rachaik but they're karev. What does this mean? A gadol kli tzura, one who braids this kli, v'anefech kli z'chuches, or he glass blows, v'ayis a kli b'tfus, or he makes a kli inside a mold, kulhen mishum b'aynet, all these are chayiv for the same malacha of b'aynet, and this is an expression of rechaikim ukrivim. They're very far, they're very distant, meaning they're unlike the malacha of b'aynet, because usually b'aynet is building some sort of structure on the ground, but nonetheless they're chayiv because of b'aynet, and the reason we're saying they're krivim is because they're all the same isser malacha of b'aynet. Now here's the next expression, habayrer, one who selects, v'hazayrer, one who winnows, that's a proper girsa, v'amarakid, and one who sifts, kulhen mishum mavir psoiles, all them fit under the same general idea of mavir psoiles, taking away the bad, but kol echad v'echad, chiyuv v'fnei atzmai, each one is its own chiyuv, and these are krivim shein rechaikim, they're karev because they're very similar to each other, but they're rachik because they're all each a totally separate malacha. Now the Gemara just asks on the Mishnah, v'lama leitaninen hayshata imhain, why wasn't hayshata passing from one person to another taught along with these malachas? Our last malacha was mavir mershus or shus, transferring from one rishus to another, and we know that there's an isra of hayshata, of passing from one rishus to Yachid to another Rishus Yachid through Rishus Rabim, why wasn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? And the answer is, Rav Simon says, Rav Shimon Rav Shuben Levi, v'nei machlokes Rav Kiva Chamim. This is a machlokes Rav Kiva and the Chamim, and we only teach things in the Mishnah that are not a machlokes. Now Rav Chizkiya quotes Rav Yudim and Levi, who quotes Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who says, b'shem Rebbe, yeser alein hashata, that hashata, passing, actually is added on, and is technically included one of the malachas. And so the question is, v'molei tani nasa imayin, so why wasn't it taught with them? Why not teach it in the Mishnah explicitly? And the answer is, because kol malacha is ba'achas v'zubishtayim. All malachas mentioned in the Mishnah could be accomplished by just one person, but hashata has to be done with two people. You pass something from one person to another. And also, kol malachas, yeshlan toldos, all the malachas mentioned in the Mishnah have toldos, they have subcategories. V'zu, ein la toldos, this one doesn't have a toldo, and again, that's the reason why it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with Halacha Gimel, continuing to discuss malachas. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.